This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, free agency predictions. We'll do this every day until NBA free agency actually starts. So that is today, tomorrow, and Friday. When we come back out of the weekend on Monday, we'll see whether or not any of these free agent stories have actually started to break. And obviously, I'd encourage you to follow Fox Sports Radio, because as these stories do break, and it's probably the last big story of the summer, as we move into, it's not that far till NFL training camps will officially open up, but this is the NBA's last turn on the sports stage. And so we'll see exactly what ends up happening. But in terms of predictions, my prediction right now for the big free agents, and I've been on this and it really hasn't changed, I think Durant's going to go to Golden State, stay there. I think he probably will end up signing a five-year extension. And if he decides that he doesn't want to stay with Golden State in the future, maybe he gets a trade set up with the Knicks or the Nets or wherever he might want to go. But obviously, it doesn't make sense for Durant to sign with the Knicks now. To me, it doesn't. To do his rehab, the Knicks are going to be bad. Why go ahead and sign up with them right now? It's possible Durant just opts in for one more year and postpones his free agency to next season, so he can wait and see how the lineup and power dynamics of the NBA may shift in the meantime. That's probably a pretty smart strategic decision. But if I were advising him right now, I would say go ahead and take your five-year guarantee, because you're coming off an Achilles tendon injury. Why not go ahead and sign with a team that you know is going to be good? Avoid some of the mess that might happen if you go to the Knicks and the Knicks can't find other talent to surround you with, because the Knicks are going to be a lottery team next year anyway. Why prolong that process? At worst case scenario, opt in. I would tell him to take the 5 years with the Warriors. I think Klay Thompson's going to stay with the Warriors. I don't think there's any doubt. He'll be back at the end of the season coming off of that ACL injury, and he'll be ready to go down the stretch, assuming the Warriors are in the mix to make the postseason, to make the playoffs, because Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson can still be a pretty potent trio if they end up out there able to play together. So that is my prediction for the Golden State Warriors. I think that that Kemba Walker is going to leave Charlotte. I think the most likely outcome, if I were advising him, is to take the deal with the Boston Celtics, because I think they're a better team right now than the Mavericks are or the Charlotte Hornets are. So I think that that Kemba Walker will end up on the Boston Celtics. That is my prediction there. In terms of Jimmy Butler, I kind of feel like Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets are going to end up working a sign and trade in some way to try to get a big three in Houston. I don't necessarily think that's the smart move. I think if you can paper over the differences between Chris Paul and James Harden, that ultimately that team is good enough. In the same way that the Toronto Raptors had LeBron James leave the East and they suddenly broke through, the team that has been the roadblock for the Houston Rockets for the past 2 years, the Golden State Warriors, they're not going to be there probably this year, barring an unbelievable comeback from Kevin Durant. By the postseason, this team of the Golden State Warriors is going to be substantially weakened compared to what we've seen from them in prior years. So I would just build with what you've already got. I wouldn't try to make an irrational move, but it sounds like the Rockets are predisposed to make that move and try to bring in Jimmy Butler. If that happens, then, man, I think that's probably where Jimmy Butler is the most likely to end up, in some sort of sign-and-trade deal. And in terms of big names, that really basically leaves us with Kyrie Irving, who I think will end up with the Brooklyn Nets. And I don't think there's really going to be that much overall movement at the top of the NBA free agent market. So I'm curious, as I bring in the crew, do you have a fearless prediction for what you believe will happen in the NBA free agency that maybe isn't among the ones that I just made, Danny G?
Yeah, I'm going to say there was a rumor yesterday that Klay Thompson would be willing to move on from Golden State.
Hashtag future Laker.
I know the Lakers need help right now to go with Anthony Davis and LeBron, but he is the perfect fit for LeBron James. So I would wait that 6-7 months for him to get back on the court.
That would be a huge story.
That would be amazing.
First of all, they would have to figure out a way to – we talked about this with Petros Papadakis yesterday in Hour 3. The Lakers' inability to have a capologist and have somebody who was smart enough to ensure that they didn't blow it is really pretty unbelievable, that they don't have enough money maybe to sign a guy to a max deal. And that would be intriguing really then, because you got Klay Thompson out for so long and you'd have no salary cap flexibility. So it would make the regular season matter even less than it already does, because the Lakers would be in the position of just trying to make the postseason and then waiting to round into full shape until Klay Thompson came back. I don't think he's going to leave. That would be a blockbuster. What about you, Dub?
Well, you did leave Kawhi off your list, and I think he's going to stay
in Toronto. I did leave Kawhi off my list, didn't I? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the answer is he going to stay in Toronto or with the Clippers? We talked about that in an earlier segment here this hour. So I'm not sure. I mean, because ultimately I think the Kawhi decision is maybe the most intriguing, because I don't think it's connected to basketball at all. I think it's just about, do you care whether you live in Southern California or Canada? And I think that's ultimately the decision for him. I just don't think basketball factors in at a high level.
Yeah, I agree with you. But as far as Durant, I think he's going to go to the Brooklyn Nets, because the doctor he went to in New York to get his Achilles repaired is actually the team physician for the Brooklyn Nets.
That's a good conspiracy theory.
So I think that's of somewhat significance here in his decision-making. Does he go back to the Warriors? Does he trust their medical staff? And he's already gone to the Brooklyn Nets team physician to get his Achilles repaired. So I think that could be something of significance.
Yeah, you're trying to read the tea leaves there. I did think that Durant deciding to go to New York to have that surgery was intriguing, if only because you have to travel. It's not like, look, I'm sure Kevin Durant has access to private planes, and it's not that big of a deal. I don't know where he spends most of his free time in the offseason. I'm assuming he's probably in the Bay Area would be my guess. I don't know that for certain. Hopping on a plane and flying all the way across country to go see your doctor as he treats your Achilles tendon to make sure everything is okay, that seems like a little bit of a clue that he might be interested in going to New York, that he had the surgery in New York. Certainly that it was a team physician that did it. Maybe he just wants what he thinks is the best doctor of all, and certainly that's a smart move by him. But I did sort of raise my eyebrows at the decision to go to New York, if only because all of the post-doctor meetings to make sure that the Achilles tendon recovery is going well would necessitate him theoretically traveling into New York to go to those doctor's appointments, which, you know, in a general world, would you prefer to be close to your doctor? I think so. So I do think there's a little bit of smoke there, to be sure. Eddie Garcia, what would you say is your fearless prediction today? And by the way, you can change it on Thursday. You can change it on Friday as we go into the Sunday opening of NBA free agency.
You know what? I think Kawhi comes to the Clippers. I've been saying that all along. I don't know if that's a fearless prediction or not. I think Durant and Klay will stay with Golden State. Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. I think Jimmy Butler might join Kyrie in Brooklyn instead of going to Houston or staying with Philadelphia.
It doesn't seem like there's that much drama surrounding Jimmy Butler in terms of how much difference he's going to make on the court, but it does seem like the way he has kind of run through multiple teams, that one of the things the Rockets would have to really seriously contemplate is, our team chemistry is already not good, right? I think it's fair to say, even if you're a hardcore Rockets fan, that the relationship between James Harden and Chris Paul seems to be troubled in a fairly substantial way. And even all those State Farm commercials can't make them come back. It's like Humpty Dumpty, right? Can you put Humpty Dumpty back together again? Can you put the relationship back together again between the Rockets? I'm really not sure. But it seems like the physics, the alchemy involved of bringing in Jimmy Butler, who's had issues of his own with interacting and dealing with his teammates in a good way, would make the Rockets even more combustible than they already are, which doesn't really seem like that smart of a move to me. Roberto, what about you?
I say Durant and Kyrie, they always wanted to play together, so I say they end up playing in with the Nets. I say Klay ends up in Golden State, and Kawhi to the Clippers, because Genie is not smart enough to have a capologist, and I would have thought Kawhi would have signed with the Lakers with the max. But
yeah, look, Kawhi, I think in general, again, of all of these decisions, I think his, which is ironic because we talk so much about how all Kawhi cares about is basketball, I think ultimately his decision is going to be the least connected to basketball of anybody out there on the free agent market, because I don't see a substantial difference between the Raptors with Kawhi versus the Clippers with Kawhi. Both teams are going to be really good, yet not the favorites. If you wanted to go to a team that would immediately be the favorite to win another title, clearly it would be the Lakers. But the fit between Kawhi and LeBron in terms of all the drama and the off-field antics doesn't seem like a very good fit.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We usually do the anonymous mailbag right here in hour number two of this show, and so we are going to do that here as well. But first, news from the world of sports. Last night, a lot of fun watching the College World Series. There is a do-or-die game three taking place tonight, Wednesday night. I think by far it's the best event on the American sporting calendar. The quarterfinals, I believe, are now set for the Women's World Cup. There will be games on Thursday and Friday. Are there any games left in this thing or not for the knockout stage? I can't remember. We got Norway and England, I believe, that are set to play. And then we've got the U.S. women going up against France, and there are other games going on too. There's only eight teams left. So the bracket is effectively set, and the quarterfinal round will be taking place, I believe, on Friday and Saturday. So there may be one game left or something like that. But anyway, that's what's going on with the Women's World Cup. Baseball continues to roll forward. There's actually kind of an intriguing setup going on, I believe, over the weekend with the Boston Red Sox playing against the New York Yankees in London. I'm actually going to watch that. I think that's Saturday, Sunday. One of those games is on Fox. The other one is on ESPN, and I'm intrigued to see how that goes on. But let me go ahead and hit the music, boys. Let's find out here. Let's see if I can make the world a better place by solving problems that exist across the landscape of Outkick Nation. Cue the music, boys.
You've got
mail, mother...
Anonymous mail, babe!
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
I don't think we've hardly opened the phones at all this week, so the phone lines are effectively open here. 877-996-6369 is the phone number. 877-996-6369. I will solve all of your problems across the landscape of the universe, whatever they may be. I will take care of them. I'll make the world a better place. It's what I do. So Dub needs to field all these calls. In the meantime, are there issues in the world of our universe that need to be resolved? Danny G, any major issues going on in your life that I can help you with?
Yeah, I guess, you know, one thing I've been dealing with is where I live.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get ahead of an issue because there's a rumor at my building that they are going to renovate my unit as well as some of my neighbors who have been there for a long time. And what's going on is they are starting to charge double the rent.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not kicking people out.
Well, but not, as the units come available, they yes. go in and they rehab them, and then they can charge substantially more rent.
Exactly. And so I have an upstairs
neighbor.
That's
a great real estate move, by the way. If you're fortunate enough to have an ownership stake in any kind of apartments, uh-huh. the way to get the rents up big time is as they come open, yep. you go in and you redo the entire apartment, and then you you put them back on the market. But you're not leaving, so they can't force you out to redo it.
They can't, except because I'm in broadcasting, I agreed with my landlord to go month to month because I didn't know.
Oh, because you're afraid you might lose your job at any moment?
Not that. It's more because in broadcasting, we move around from city to city, state to state sometimes. In my case, I've gone city to city. I've been able to stay in California doing radio, which has been pretty good. But, you know, you don't want to lock yourself into a two-year lease.
Well, and especially with this show where Jason Martin comes in as the producer and he immediately, almost a year and a half later or whatever, gets a big raise, gets a new gig. He's got his own show now. You're thinking, hey, the Clay Travis rocket ship here. The Outkick the Coverage show rocket ship. No telling when I might get that big offer, so I got to be able to be flexible.
Well, I wish it was that, but I've been there for 7 years now. So this started back when I was at NBC Sports with you on the weekend there.
Yeah, I had a Saturday show.
You did.
That I would do with NBC Sports Radio.
So we've been working together since way back then. But, you know, at the time I was just doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday NFL shows and update anchor work like Eddie does here. I was doing that for NBC when you and I were working there. So I just wanted to keep my options open. My landlord was cool, so I set up the agreement to go month to month. So my worry is that I may be soon getting an email from him saying, hey, we're going to rehab your place next. You know, I would have to be out while they did that, but to come back, all of a sudden it would be twice the rent. So I don't know if I should get ahead of this, because the construction guys that are working at the building right now, they have told some of us that the owners of the building have told them to plan on being there for the rest of the year.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Intriguing,
so we're like, indeed. Whose unit is next then if they're going to be there for the rest of the year?
What is your rent? Like, I'm curious. I know L.A. can be really expensive. What part of town do you live in?
So I'm in downtown Burbank.
By Disney.
Right. Our units are close to $2,000 a month. They would be $4,000 a month after the rehab.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how big is your apartment?
Welcome to Southern California, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that big. It's like 1,000 square feet.
I mean, I had a...
after utilities... You're talking almost $2,000 to live in a nice part of Southern California. And of course, like you said, these owners, the smart thing to do, they put in a new bathroom, they put in a new
granite
kitchen.
Granite countertops, whatever that stuff's called.
Yes, they upgrade everything, and then they say, okay, we're going to put it back on the market now, but at twice the cost.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Like when I was living in our old house, my mortgage for a house that I built in downtown Nashville was less than your, substantially less than your rent is. Southern California, I don't know how people do it. I mean, the amount that people have to pay in rent is insane.
You know, San Francisco and the Bay Area and all our listeners there listening to 95.7 The Game, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who's living just outside of San Francisco, and his rent right now is $4,200 a month.
Patently absurd, right?
Yeah.
To pay over $4,000 to live somewhere and not even be living in a mansion is, to me, wild. I mean, that's infinitely more than I pay in a mortgage combined for my beach house and for my home. I mean, to put that into perspective. So that's crazy almost. But what is wild is when you think about the city of Los Angeles and the city of San Francisco, one of the big problems they've got is they haven't allowed development to continue. And so there's actually just a housing shortage. And that's particularly the case in the Bay Area. It's not just that, you know, these places are so incredibly nice or anything like that, or there's tons of wealthy people, which certainly there are in San Francisco and L.A., it's that the sheer number of housing units are not substantial enough to fill the number of people who want to live in those two cities. And for San Francisco, it's getting worse because all of these companies, what they call unicorn tech companies, are going public. And so the number of people who are worth $100 million or $1 billion, and it's skyrocketing even more than it already has. And it's almost impossible to find a place if you're just a normal guy or girl. God forbid if you are you're a teacher or you're a police officer or you're somebody who has a job like that where you know you're not going to make a ton of money. You can't live in San Francisco and be a public school teacher. You can't live in San Francisco and be a fireman. You can't live in San Francisco and be a police officer. I mean, it's almost impossible be able to afford to live that way, especially if you have a family. You almost need to get married, Danny G, just so you don't have to pay for all your rent by yourself.
You're right about the Bay Area, because I have some other family members where they have settled an hour outside of the city and they just make that drive in over the bridge every day.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of listeners out in both the cities of L.A. And Los Angeles who are up early that listen to us, and I hear from all the time because they have such substantial commutes entirely because of that cost of living associated with those cities. And that's also, by the way, why some, you know, sort of bedroom communities, as you call it, are blowing up. I mean, why has so much of the city of Los Angeles relocated to, for instance, Nevada, right? Like in the Las Vegas suburbs, because you can go buy an awesome house in Las Vegas. And I don't think Nevada has a state income tax. So you're immediately clipping 13% more income in your pocket And that oftentimes can fill a mortgage just by not having to pay a state income tax, which I think is the case in the state of Nevada.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
A lot of people reacting to the story I just told about credit bureaus and everything else. And Danny G, you said you got reported over a $30 debt you didn't know you had.
I got so fired up hearing your story because recently I got the three different credit reports from all three bureaus.
Because you're thinking about trying to buy a place too.
Right. And I see on there from a jewelry store, because I was trying to be like Le'Veon Bell a decade ago.
Yeah.
I bought something for a family member as a gift, and I was paying on it monthly. It was like $32 a month payments.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, this will help me build my credit. So I went in. I used to walk in and make the payment at their location at our local mall here in L.A. And I walked in, and she's like, oh, this is your final payment. I'm like, yes. So I pay it. A couple months later, I get something in the mail saying I still owed $32. And I'm like, what the hell? She thought it was my last payment. I guess it was my second to last payment, it turns out. So I walk in, I pay it, I think everything's fine, and I get something else in the mail saying I'm in collections. I'm like, collections? I paid it. So I had to call. Now I'm going to have to write a letter to this place to get it off my credit report. And it's $32, and it's a negative mark on my credit history right now.
Yeah,
I feel you. This is ridiculous. Over pennies.
Yeah, I wonder on something. Mine was $100, right? And I understand if you're really in arrears, that's stressful and it's overwhelming. And I understand why a credit agency would need to exist then. But shouldn't there be a limit on the dollar amount that a company can report you for that goes immediately on your credit history?
It should have to be a huge balance that you missed paying on.
Yeah, like you got hit for a $30 debt. I got hit for a $100 debt. And it's on my credit history for all time, and I'm trying to get it taken care of now. But shouldn't there be a dollar figure? I don't know if it's $500. I don't know if it's $1,000, where you shouldn't have it go on your credit report unless it reaches a level where it actually substantially impacts things. I mean, I can't. There are probably tons of people out there listening to us right now who have gotten dinged on this same kind of situation over low dollar figure amounts that, one, may not be accurate, two, are clearly insubstantial, right? Like, if I owed $100, you know, I think I can handle that, right? If you owe $32, I think you can handle that. The amount of money and time and effort I'm going to spend over this $100 debt that suddenly got flipped to this new collection agency, sorry, this new student loan company, is infuriating. Like, it will drive you insane if you have to spend that time on the phone with a collection agency talking about your credit history. So I would just say this, pay attention to that thing, because I don't regularly look at it. I had no clue that I had been reported over a $100 debt. I think I had a clean bill of health until then. And now, boom, like, this is ridiculous. So there should be some sort of way that this could get modified, because I think there's a lot of people out there listening right now who have probably had similar circumstances, and the amount of frustration that you will spend over something like this is really kind of – it can feel like it's off the charts, especially when you get into one of those press this button now and you're talking with somebody overseas who has no clue. And my move is to ask for a supervisor, but even the supervisors aren't very good at most of these companies. Like, they really don't know what they're doing.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There are a lot of you who have stories like mine, and I just flagged a couple of them. If you just are tuning in with us as you are waking up, let me go ahead and say, last night, incredible performance by Kumar Rocker, best sporting event of the night, Vanderbilt against Michigan in the College World Series, Game 2. Vanderbilt forces a Game 3 against Michigan tonight will be taking place. They forced a Game 3 by an incredible performance from Kumar Rocker. Second time he has taken the mound. True freshman pitcher for Vanderbilt baseball. If you are familiar with the name Tracy Rocker, he is Tracy Rocker's son. Tracy Rocker was a big-time Auburn defensive lineman, NFL player. He is now a college football assistant coach, and his son is a whirling dervish on the mound. Incredible talent. He pitched in the two elimination games, potentially, for Vanderbilt so far this year. The only two games Vanderbilt has played where they have faced elimination down 0-1 in any kind of series. In the Super Regional against Duke, he took the mound, pitched a complete game, no-hitter, struck out 19, Kumar Rocker did. Last night, Vanderbilt gives him the ball again, another true freshman. He's on the mound. Michigan's up 1-0 in this title game series. He takes the mound, pitches 6 1/3 innings, strikes out 11, gives up one run. That run was scored after he left, or he left one runner on second. That runner ended up scoring. That means for 15 1/3 innings facing elimination, Kumar Rocker, true freshman, has gone to the mound. He has pitched. He has struck out 30 batters. He has allowed only 3 hits, and he has given up only 1 run as a result of his performance. And I think there's a good chance, by the way, that in 2 years when he's eligible for the Major League Baseball draft, if he stays healthy and develops a third pitch, he's got a fastball and he's got a slider that are really outstanding, develops a third pitch, he could end up going number one overall in 2 years. Certainly going to be a first-round pick. The question is, if he stays healthy, just how high will he go? I think he could end up being the number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. So Vanderbilt has forced a game three. The Women's World Cup has set up, and there are now 8 teams that are prepared to play in the quarterfinal round of that tournament. There continues to be NBA free agency drama. 6 o'clock Eastern on Sunday, NBA free agency will officially open. Lots of reports about what exactly is going on. A report maybe Jimmy Butler could be headed to the Houston Rockets if the Rockets could work out a trade for him. Andre Iguodala has come out and said that he thinks Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant will re-up with the Golden State Warriors. What will Kawhi Leonard do? Will Kemba Walker leave Charlotte and go potentially to Boston or down to Dallas, two teams that seem to be pursuing him pretty aggressively? Those are the storylines that are out there right now. That is what is transpiring in the world of sports. An update for you, if you haven't been aggressively following the Women's World Cup, there are 8 teams that are now prepared to play on Friday and Saturday going forward. Those teams, Norway and England, will play. France will play the United States. Italy will play the Netherlands. Germany will play Sweden. I pointed out that basically, if you are a country that provides freedom to women, the Women's World Cup is in many ways a referendum on whether women are allowed to compete in sports in your country. No great surprise that the countries that provide women with the most freedoms are also the countries that are the best in the Women's World Cup. Now, I am about to play a clip for you that I think is going to get a lot of attention today. There has been much discussion in the world, whether you agree or disagree with it, about whether teams that win championships are going to go to the White House, right? It's a big storyline, can't escape it. Everywhere it gets a ton of attention, whether it's the New England Patriots, whether it's the Boston Red Sox, whether it is the Clemson Tigers football team, whether it's, I think, who just won the women's Baylor? Did Baylor win the women's championship? I think they went to the White House, the women's team. It's become a trend since, I believe, Ronald Reagan, for teams that win championships to get invited to the White House. A lot of times those are pro teams. Also, a lot of times they are college teams. Well, the U.S. women obviously represent the entirety of the United States. There have not been, to my knowledge, any teams that have gone out and won championships like the U.S. women are trying to do and win a World Cup in 2019. I'm guessing, well, one of you guys look it up. I'm guessing, I don't know this 100%, but I'm guessing it happened, that the 2015 Women's World Cup team that won the World Cup on behalf of the United States visited the White House when Barack Obama was president in 2015. Again, I haven't done the research on that. I'm guessing that that's the case. Dub, will you look that up? Because I'm sure one Google search will confirm. I would be stunned if they weren't invited. It would make sense, I think, even more so than usual, that if you are the women's or the men's national team and you win the World Cup, that you would get to go visit the White House and the president would thank you on behalf of the nation and you would spend a day kind of hanging out, getting to tour the nation's capital. That, Dub, you got it in 2015, the Women's World Cup team went and visited the White House. That happened?
That is correct.
Yeah. So it's not a surprise, right, that that would happen. I think even more so than normal, when you represent the country, it's not a surprise that the president would say thank you and invite you to come visit the White House. Well, Megan Rapinoe, who scored both of the goals on the Women's World Cup team, against Spain to advance against France, was asked recently. I saw this clip come out last night. I think it'll probably get some attention today. She was asked in the last 24 hours, I'm not sure exactly when, whether or not she was looking forward, if they won the World Cup, to visiting the White House. We have her answer to that question. Here it is.
Are you excited about going to the White House?
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House.
That is Megan Rapinoe. I'm not going to the effing White House. Yeah, just when you're like, hey, kumbaya, can we sit down and watch the U.S. Women's World Cup team and we can all come together and we can just cheer USA, USA, USA. Megan Rapinoe, do we have that one more time? Are you excited about going to the White House if you guys win the World Cup? Megan Rapinoe says,
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House.
So she went in 2015. The Women's World Cup team went in 2015. If they win in 2019, she says, I'm not effing going to the White House. And some people are going to say, somebody already asked me this on Twitter, why are you sharing this? Why would you pay any attention to it? I think it's a story. If you represent the U.S., the United States, I think that there is a belief that if the president invites you to the White House, you probably should go. Now, I understand that I'm in the rarity these days where everybody's got to be all polarized. I would be ecstatic if any president of the United States ever invited me to go to the White House. Whether it was Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump, if you invite me to the White House, I will be there on the next flight to Washington, D.C. If I don't know how you get invited to the White House, if I finished the show today, and I hung up and my phone rang or I got an email and they were saying, hey, Clay, Donald Trump is having a bunch of people who do radio shows to visit the White House. Would you be interested in coming? I would be there with bells on. I might even be willing. I've never chartered a plane in my life. I might be willing to charter a plane and pay to fly to D.C. to be able to go to the White House and meet the president. And I would do the exact same thing. Whether in my life, right, I'm 40, in my life, whether it was Ronald Reagan, whether it was George Bush Sr., whether it was Bill Clinton, whether it was George W. Bush, whether it was Barack Obama or Donald Trump, I respect the office of the presidency. I'd be there in a heartbeat. I understand if you're a pro athlete and you disagree with the president, I understand that people may not want to go, and certainly that is your right. But personally, I would be there as a pro athlete too. But I think it's even more the case when you represent the United States. You're not just representing yourself in the same way that you would be if you are a member of a team that wins a pro sports championship. Then you are wearing the flag on your lapel of the United States. You are a member of the United States Olympic team. And I would feel even more compelled, even if I weren't feeling like I wanted to go beforehand, I would feel even more compelled to go if I represented the United States, irrespective of whether or not I agree with the president and every decision that the president's made. Because guess what? I've disagreed with every president in my life about something. The only person I agree with 100% of the time is me, and I'm not even sure I agree with myself 100% of the time. Because sometimes I'm like, it seems like kind of a stupid opinion. Go back, I'm constantly examining my opinions. I'll change them as evidence changes. So I don't even know that I agree with myself 100% of the time. But we'll play it one more time, and then I'm going to bring in the crew. The thing I hate about this, well, and I was saying, somebody's like, well, why do you share this? This is a big story, I think. If one of the stars of the United States team, before a game where she is representing the United States, is asked whether or not she is excited about going to the White House if you win the World Cup, and she says, I'm not effing going, I think that's a pretty big story. Let's play it one more time.
Are you excited about going to the White House?
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House.
So that's Megan Rapinoe, that audio clip. I put up the video. You can go watch it. There's a longer form interview associated with it. But that's the story. That's the line that's going to get a lot of attention. So I'll poll everybody on the show. Not asking who you voted for president. I don't care. I tell people, everybody out there, exactly what my political opinions are because I want you to be able to assess my bias or not. I voted for Gary Johnson. I didn't like Hillary Clinton. I didn't like Donald Trump in the 2016 campaign. I voted for the Libertarian candidate. I went third party. I wish we had a third party because I think oftentimes Democrats and Republicans don't represent all of my views. I have a lot of views that side with the Democrats. I have a lot of views that side with the Republicans. And so I feel sometimes like a fish out of water because I feel like I'm kind of halfway in between a lot of different places. I tend, so you know, to be a little bit socially liberal. Personally, I don't have a problem with gay marriage. Fine with it. I don't have, a problem with also so simultaneously Second Amendment gun rights. I am an individualist. I believe that people should be able to do as they see fit, and the government should try to stay out of their way. Tend to be fairly conservative economically. I want low tax rates. I want growth, economically. That's what matters to me, but I'm socially liberal. So I don't think I fit really that well in the existing parties of either the Democrats or the Republicans. There's ample reason if you're a Democrat for you to hate me. There's ample reason if you're a Republican for you to hate me. I'm comfortable with that position, right? And I think there's a lot of you out there that feel like I do. And certainly I'm not here to try to tell you what you should believe one way or the other about any issue. I don't think people tune into my show and they're like, I think Clay Travis is going to solve abortion this morning. You know what? I'm a big fan of Outkick the Coverage because when I come in, Clay Travis is going to solve all the gun issues that exist in our country today. Now, if a situation is not solved, it's probably really complicated. And probably the solution is neither 100% Democrat nor 100% Republican, right? That's kind of my belief. I'm fine with mixed government because by and large, I think compromise actually makes sense in the country. I know that's a rarity. I applauded Joe Biden the other day on Twitter when he got ripped for saying, you know what, I worked with senators who were segregationist. Well, so yeah, you have to. Like when you're a politician, I don't think it's an indictment of your own beliefs if you work with people who have different beliefs. I think that's entirely what our country is predicated on. So I like Joe Biden and the fact that he refused to apologize for that. And I think we're going to get Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, and I hope it's a better election than we got into 2020. But I do think this is an intriguing question. Megan Rapinoe, I'm not effing going to the White House. What do you think about this, Danny G? I think there's a big difference between representing a pro sports team, the New England Patriots, the Boston Red Sox, or a college team even, the Clemson Tigers, the Baylor women's basketball, and representing the United States in a competition and responding like she did to a question like this before her side has even won the World Cup. I think the answer for Megan Rapinoe that I would have given, and look, she has the right to every opinion that she has, is the answer that I would give to that question is, are you excited about going to the White House? First of all, I wouldn't want to jinx the team, right? My response would be, well, you're jumping the gun there because we were lucky to beat Spain. We didn't play very well. We got two penalty kicks. We won 2-1. We were fortunate to beat Spain. So I'm way more worried about France and winning that game and then whoever else we'd have to beat the next two games than I am about the White House. But I'd like to celebrate winning the World Cup and bringing the cup back to the United States, and I'd like to celebrate it with every American, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. I think we have the opportunity to bring Americans together under the United States flag and show them what women are capable of in this country, and that's what I'm really excited about right now. That's the answer that I would have given, right? If I were a woman on the Women's World Cup team, and I got asked that question, which is clearly a setup question, right? It's clearly a setup question by the media. He's trying to get Megan Rapinoe to give the answer that she did way too early. Probably a question that could be asked after you win the World Cup, but when you still got three games to win and you haven't played very well in the most recent game, that's not a question that I would have answered the way Rapinoe did. And also, as I said earlier, I'd go to the White House regardless of who the president is because I respect the office of the presidency and I think that when you respect the country, if the president asked for your help at all, I would do it. Like, I'd be legitimately, like, if the, and this is a ridiculous hypothesis, but if the president called me and he said, Clay Travis, I've been listening to your radio show, I think you would be an incredible White House press secretary. Just named a new White House press secretary, right? I want you to serve the country. Will you do it? I almost feel like I'd be obligated to leave my radio show and go do it. Maybe that's an antiquated notion. But if the president of the United States, Donald Trump, asked me that question, or the president of the United States, Barack Obama, asked me that question, he said, look, you are the best at making sports arguments on the planet. I think that's accurate. Barack Obama said that to me, or Donald Trump said that to me. And he said, and now we need you to make arguments on behalf of the country as the White House press secretary. Will you do it? I think I'd have to call up Don Martin and Scott Shapiro, my two awesome bosses at Fox Sports Radio, and say, hey, I'm going to the White House. President called, said he thinks I can help. I'm going to go do this. I can come back and do radio afterwards, but I think the president believes that I can help him, whether he's Democrat or Republican. I'm going to go do it. Maybe that's an antiquated notion. But that's the way I think. Danny G, what would you do, and what do you think of Rapino's response?
Well, my mom taught me and my siblings to be respectful, especially to those people who have different views than you do. So if I'm Rapino, I go out of respect. And I don't like when people say that you can't make a difference by yourself. I think as a star athlete, you could at least have some face time with a president, maybe set up some sort of Kanye West type meeting. I know that didn't end so well with Kanye trying to do his thing, but at least you could have some sort of dialogue with the president, try to set something up for later after you meet him if you want to, you know, at
try
least
to make the country better,
right,
in some way.
Yeah.
Also, how about dropping the F-bomb there?
It just wasn't necessary. She could have just dealt with it by saying, no comment right now because we're not even in the final match.
Here's what I would say. I understand the desire. And look, if you go look through all my clips, I have cursed a lot. But if you are Megan Rapinoe and your audience is primarily young girls, right? The people who love the U.S. women's team more than anything else. Like, I'll give you an example. Michael Jordan said he was trying to send a message to young kids in America with the way that he behaved, publicly at least. Now, privately, he had all sorts of issues. But one thing Michael Jordan refused to do was he said, I want to look like a professional when I get asked questions by the media. I'll never do an interview shirtless sitting at my locker. And I really thought that was an interesting decision, right? How often do you see guys in a locker room sitting shirtless answering questions for the media? And Michael Jordan said, hey, I won't do an interview or answer any questions until I've showered, until I have sat down, put on a shirt, and I look like in some way a professional person. I think it's a really good message to send out to kids, right? Even if you're an athlete, your presentation matters. And Michael Jordan became a billionaire, owns an NBA team. I know we're not supposed to use the word owner now, but he owns the NBA team because of the way he carried himself in so many different respects. And there's a reason why Michael Jordan is still, if not the most popular, one of the most popular athletes in the history of this country. And it's because, as the title of my book that came out in September, best-selling book, by the way, thank you guys, Republicans Buy Sneakers Too, to quote attributed to Michael Jordan. I'm trying to appeal to everybody. I want to change the country in a positive way. And the only way you can change the country in a positive way is by trying to speak to everyone. A handshake works better than a fist does. Be my theory in general. All right. So, Danny G, your perspective. Dub, your thoughts.
I'm with you and Danny G, regardless of who is in office. If I ever got the opportunity to go to the White House, I'm there as fast as I can get there.
Right?
Like, oh, I'd be so pumped.
To shake the president's hand, regardless of who the president is, I mean, to me, that's such an incredible achievement, that an opportunity. Like, I just can't imagine turning it down, right? So, but what do you think in general about this response? I mean, I think it's problematic to the extent you want to use this word. I think her response is not good. I think she's being baited by the media member, right, who knows that he's setting her up. I think dropping an F-bomb as a part of the answer is, on top of it, even more disrespectful of the question. And I don't think she answered it in an intelligent fashion. If she wants to use it as an opportunity to advance whatever political beliefs she did and has, I think she alienated a large percentage of the country that might otherwise listen to her.
No doubt. And the reporter was definitely
baiting her.
No doubt. Because if you haven't noticed, during the singing of the national anthem, Rapinoe is the only player on the team that is not actually singing the anthem, because she came out prior to the World Cup saying she wasn't going to actually sing the anthem in a, you know, protest of who's in office. So this reporter was 100% baiting her to get a good quote, which she did get.
Yeah, look, and I don't think Megan Rapinoe has an obligation to sing the national anthem. I certainly think you have an obligation, if you play for the U.S. team, to stand for the national anthem, right? And she is doing that, although she kneeled for other U.S. women's games as a part of the process. But the thing that's frustrating to me about this is the U.S. women, to me, in 2015 represented everything that was great about America, and the entire country lined up behind them because they are our national team. And now Rapinoe, with three games left, one, I think this is going to turn into a big story for the U.S. women, because she's jinxing them in some sense by talking about what happens when they already win the World Cup. I can see, you know, to the extent that you talk about locker room material, I can see how this could motivate France. I can see how it could motivate whatever team we're going to play the rest of the way, because they're going to say, look, the U.S. isn't even concerned about you. They're already talking about how they're going to respond when they actually win the World Cup. I don't think that's something that you want out there circulating. But also, I think it's just a disrespectful way to answer a question that is intended to provoke dissension and discord, and you played right into it. Eddie Garcia, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm also in agreement with everybody on the show. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I'm not a fan of his. But I would go to the White House.
But if our show, let's say that Trump, yeah, like, or Obama or anybody else, like, if they suddenly said, hey, we think your radio show is really good, we're inviting the whole radio show to go, you would go.
I would absolutely go.
And be pretty excited about going, probably, right?
And look at this way. If you met somebody today and you found out that they had met Richard Nixon,
yeah,
when he was in office, you would be like, wow, I bet that was a great story. You
would be
know
like,
about
oh,
it.
My God, what about right, Watergate, you right, disgusting in, person? How right. did you How did you ever shake his hand?
I think in 20, 30 years or whatever, the same thing will be said about Donald Trump. If you met him, you would be like, wow, that's really, what was he like? That kind of thing. So,
100%.
I think Megan Rapinoe is very unlikable. And you guys talked about, you know, her being set up. She's been very outspoken about her feelings, and not just with her words, but with her actions. She's taken a knee during the anthem, not during this World Cup,
yeah,
but in previous international competitions during the anthem. So I think she's more than happy and more than willing to be, quote unquote, set up so that she can give her beliefs on this. I think she's using this stage, and I'm not really a big fan of that at all.
Okay, look, I mean, I'll open up phone lines, by the way. You guys can react to this. I'll play the audio if you haven't heard it, if you're just waking up on the West Coast. Megan Rapinoe asked whether or not she would be excited to go to the White House in the event the women's win the World Cup, the women's U.S. women's team wins the World Cup. Roberto, what about you?
I have no problem with what she said. I mean, the president is a polarizing figure. People either love him or you hate him. There's no in-between, really. And I don't really like Trump, but I don't really like politicians in general. I just think that they're all in there for the money, you know.
If our show got invited to the White House, would you go?
I would think about it. I can't say yes, and I can't say no.
Okay.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.